Good morning, Real Life Christian Church. If you guys, we're in the house of the Lord. If you would, just please direct your attention to the front so you can see all of our announcements.
Ladies, join us on Saturday, September the 7th from 10 to 12 o'clock for brunch. You can bring a lunch or a breakfast item to share with everyone. Drinks will be provided. Invite your friends and come and get to know other ladies right here at RLCC.
This is to let you know that our annual congregational meeting and election of officers will be conducted in the Fellowship Hall at 9:45 a.m. on Sunday, September 8th. There will be no adult Sunday school classes that day. However, all nursery and children's activities will be conducted as usual. Adult and teen worship services will be conducted at their usual times. Coffee and snacks will be provided for all participants. Absentee ballots and copies of the 2025 budget will be available beginning August 25th. If you have any questions, please direct them to me, Dennis Young.
Have you ever felt stuck in a cycle of unresolved pain, playing offenses over and over in your mind? What if forgiveness won't actually fix anything? Does forgiveness mean I have to be in a relationship with that person again? Is it even possible to forgive if they're not sorry for what they did? You know you can't go on like this, but you don't know what to do next. If you can relate, please join the TAT Tuesdays at 10, Women's Bible Study on Tuesday mornings beginning September 3rd in room 102 as we launch this video study by Lisa Turkhurst, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Ask or call Patty Young for more information.
Samaritan's Purse keeps the Great Commandment at the forefront of their ministry. Go therefore and make disciples. Every year we have a unique opportunity to do just that around the world with Operation Christmas Child. Collection bins will be out at Real Life Christian Church September 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. Our church-wide pack date is October 20th. We are so excited to share the love of Jesus at Christmas. We pray that you will be a part of it too. For more information, contact Jenny King at 770-616-8578. Go to the Operation Christmas Child website or look for flyers about what to pack around the church. We hope that you will be a part of it too.
One, two, three, four.
Love is mighty and so much stronger. The
If you will please bow your heads and pray with me. Dear God, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. And that's why we come in here today, every week, so that we can lift your name in that adoration of you. So be with us as we learn today about your word. Be with us as we worship you, and just be with us as we go about our week. In your name, amen.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
You are love, you are.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Intro.
So gather around this table, it serves as a powerful reminder of our baptism in Christ, what it means for our lives, and the profound sacrifice that gives it meaning. When you go under the water in baptism, you're proclaiming that the old you has died with Christ. When you rise from the water, you are confirming that the new you is now alive in Christ. Baptism means you're becoming less of who you were, that you have recognized your sin and you need a Savior. You have bowed your knee to Jesus Christ as King, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're leaving behind a lifestyle of sin and choosing to follow Him. This, my friends, is why we as Christians love baptism so much. We celebrate every time someone steps into the water, and it's why we seize every opportunity we have to baptize. It's easy to overthink this, but it's really simple. Baptism is the ultimate response to the gospel and is an urgent call. You won't find a passage in the Bible that says, hey, put your faith in Jesus, fill out this card, and get baptized if you want to. In Acts 2:38, it says, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, when we eat the bread and drink the cup of communion, we identify with the living, active, and present Christ, with whom we have eternal fellowship through faith and baptism. We acknowledge that He lives in us and we in Him. This meal, therefore, profoundly ratifies and shapes our identity as people immersed in Christ. Just as the body is nourished and strengthened by food and drink, so too is the identity and new existence we've received through baptized and maintained and developed as we take communion. This is why, throughout the history of the church, countless Christians have insisted that only those baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be admitted to participate in communion. Though this may seem arbitrary or very legalistic for modern Christians, there are solid biblical and theological reasons for such a practice. Baptism and communion cannot exist without one another. When we reflect on baptism and communion, we are brought back to the heart of our faith, Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. He gave everything, laying down His life on the cross so that we might live, cleansed from our sins and made new in Him. Every time we witness a baptism or partake in communion, we're reminded that this unfathomable love and grace from Jesus. It's a love that meets us where we are, but doesn't leave us there. It transforms us, calling us into deeper, everlasting relationship with our Savior. Let us never lose sight of the fact that these sacred acts are not just rituals, but profound expressions of the new life we have in Christ, made possible by His sacrifice. As we go forward, may we live in a way that honors that sacrifice, continually turning to Him and sharing this incredible love with the world. This is the essence of our faith, and it's why we hold these moments so dearly in our hearts. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You did give that sacrifice for us so that we could be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so that we could partake in this communion with each other and with You eternally, Lord. Just watch over us, guide us, and open our hearts and minds as we join in this communion. In Jesus' name. coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The Bible tells us that every good gift we have, we receive from God. Everything we have came from Him. So this is talking about our money. It's talking about our influence. It's talking about your job, your spouse, your kids, your talents, your abilities, your intelligence, your intellect. The fact that we were born into this country where opportunities are afforded to us that are not afforded to much of the world, it comes from God. The very breath in your lungs came from Him, and you wouldn't be sitting in that chair breathing right now unless God gave you the breath that you just breathed. It all came from Him. This is why in 1 Corinthians 4:7, the Apostle Paul says that it's silly for you to boast about things that you have. Like, when you look at the money and the stuff and your possessions and your influence, it's silly for me to go, I did that. No, the reality is God did it. I wouldn't even be alive on planet Earth right now if God hadn't given me life. He did that for us, and it's our responsibility to use what He's given us to bear witness about Jesus in this world. That's why this church exists, and our tithes and offerings are so important personally and collectively. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for the gift and the giver and what it means here at Real Life Christian Church, the fact that we can go out, spread Your gospel, Lord, and be the hands and feet in Your community. Please just bless the giver and the gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. You know, it is a good morning. Don't you just love this weather? Makes you forget where you live. It'll be back next week, don't worry. So here we are. We're going to start week three in our series, Collide. And we know that this series involves our collision of our faith with that of the world. And let's just face it, it's going to happen as soon as we leave here and go out that door, your phone rings. Now, but in reality, it's true, though. We're going to leave here where it's easy to be Christian and go out into the world where our faith collides with some much different values than we have. And in week one, we laid the foundation for standing firm, you know, on the Word of God, the only truth we can find in this world. So we look, first of all, we have to leave here and stand firm. And then in week two, we talked about the first thing God desires out of our lives once we initially learn to stand firm in our faith, despite what the world wants, is we must be renewed and transformed. We got to stand firm and allow the Word of God to change us. But today, we're going to take it one step further. And because God begins to transform us, especially within our minds, you know, that's where the transformation happens the most, in the way that we think, we have to pursue the source of truth. What do we get our truth from? And if we get the truth from the right place, we can ultimately live it out in the world. The Word, the truth of God, is powerful and effective. If, there's always an if in there. If you allow it to work in your life. If you embrace it as the truth. Listen to this story. One day a shoemaker in Meshed, it's a very religious city in northeastern Iran. And he brought home for his lunch some cheese, which the grocer there had wrapped in a page of the New Testament. He had got a copy of the Bible, and he was using it to wrap up his cheese and meats in. And so he got home, and he unwrapped the paper, and he ate his lunch. And after he read the story of the man who hired laborers, you know, for his vineyard. And at the end of the day, where they'd worked 1 hour, 12, they were paid the same. And, you know, we love that story. I like that story. Most of us who've worked 12 hours, we don't like that story. But the shoemaker liked it. And the next day, he went back and bought some more cheese, asking that it be wrapped in another piece of that paper. So, finally, he just went back a third day and bought the rest of the wrapping paper and took it home and showed it to his brother. And the two of them found a Christian missionary in town who gave them the whole Bible, the complete copy, and also gave them some instruction on the Word of God and taught them a little bit. Both men, a couple of days later, were baptized into Christ and were among the first believers of that city. All because somebody took what they thought was trash and wrapped some cheese in it. Who says the Word of God is not powerful? It is, isn't it? Isn't it amazing what can happen through the transforming power of the Word of God? Even when scriptures are torn page by page and used and trashed, it still has the power to redeem souls. That's an awesome illustration. Matter of fact, in Romans 7:15, Paul says, "I do not understand what I do." That sounds like me most days. "For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Does that hit home for anybody? You know, in this verse, Paul is specifically talking about sin. Things that we hate and we find ourselves doing them anyway. And I wonder how many of us take this same principle and can apply it to the time spent in God's Word. Or rather, the lack thereof. We know we ought to. We know we should. But we don't. I don't know how many times I've got up the next morning going, "I wish I'd have read that. I wish I'd have opened the God's Word before I went to bed. I sure would have slept better if I had." Maybe. You know, but I believe that today is the day that God is going to give you a new hunger for His Word. You need to come in here with that attitude. "Lord, I want to hunger for Your Word and the truth that's in it." And I want to go back to the Old Testament in Proverbs 23:23. Shouldn't have any trouble remembering that one, should you? Proverbs 23:23. The writer of Proverbs is telling us something about the truth that is incredibly important. He emphasizes how important it is in this one verse. He says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well." Simple, right? We've already said that the truth comes from the Word of God. The truth is here. This is the truth, the absolute truth, the only absolute truth you're going to find. You're not going to find it on CNN, Fox News, whatever else you watch. You'll find it here. This is the truth. And here's the thing is, the first step to keeping it once you find it, the writer of Proverbs makes very clear. He says, don't sell it. Don't sell it. How many of you are salesmen? All right. I don't think he's talking about standing on the side of the road with our Bible attempting to sell physical Bibles to people here. I don't think that's what he means at all. Instead, the writer is talking here about an internal struggle. You don't ever have any of those, do you? Those internal struggles, you know, like on Looney Tunes with the devil and the angel. Some of you are having it right now. And here, he's talking about this internal struggle. It's the one thing to receive the Word of God. It's one thing to get the truth and receive it. It's another thing to keep it as a priority in your life. Isn't it? It's real easy to open the Bible and read a little bit of it, but how is it easy to put it as number one? Most of us, if we were to really be honest, we would say, what's number one? And that finger would point right back at you. Wouldn't it? It wouldn't point up to God. It would point to you. That's what's number one in most people's lives. But we're finding out that it should be the priority in your life. When I was growing up, I had this first cousin who was once very active in church. When I was a teenager, I didn't want anything to do with church because, well, I just didn't because of the way I lived my life. It wasn't that I didn't know I was supposed to do better. I just didn't want to do better. But he, on the other hand, was very involved. He played in the praise band. He loved it. He talked about church all the time. But let's just face it. Church has a way of standing on things, standing on morals and principles that challenge the ways that we want. We just have to be honest. Church has a way of challenging our morals. And often the Bible has a way of calling out my sinful behavior. Has that ever happened to you? You read in there and go, oh, ooh. I don't know if I like this or not. Let's just be honest. You have to say that. Because there's times it convicts us of something that we need to change. And sometimes my lifestyle choices need to change. Well, my cousin began to feel the pull of these worldly desires. And he abandoned the faith. He didn't just abandon the faith, he got angry at the faith. And he's still angry to the faith. And to this day, he chooses to reject Jesus because he wants to live life his way. Now, I will say this. At least he's honest enough to say that I walked away from God and I'm not saved. So many people just choose to live how they want to and say, well, God loves me anyway. You reject God every time you choose to live a lifestyle that's contrary to his word. You're just choosing. I don't remember reading anywhere in the Bible that says you can live like you want to and expect to go to heaven, do you? That you don't have to make choices every day to choose Jesus. That's not real popular. But I'm not here to tell you the popular things. I'm here to tell you the truth. The truth of the Bible. And unfortunately, like my cousin, this happens to people all the time. You know, as we mentioned in week one of this series, the things of the world can be seductive, can't they? They're enticing. Let's just face it. Man, sin looks good, doesn't it? It looks so good. Until the next day when you're trying to sort out what you've just done. But it does. It looks good. The things of the world attempt to draw us and convince us that that's real truth rather than the truth. The world wants you to believe their version of the truth. They twist it. And they put in just enough truth in there to make you think that they're right. It's tempting, isn't it? So tempting. And it's easy to sell ourselves short by selling what we hold on to as the truth in Scripture. By just selling it short. Maybe some of us are in that place right now. We've got this internal war going on within us and we feel like we're being pulled in two different directions. Guess what you are? The world's going to pull at you. Satan's going to pull at you until the day you leave this world. And the direction of the world is gaining an advantage on us all because we know that it will offer satisfaction that we can see and it's real. And that's really what we want. We want to see it and feel it and we want it right now. The Bible says if you live that life, you get your reward while you're here. But eternity's a long time, isn't it? I don't know about you. But for me, a few hours, minutes, days, even years of feeling and getting my reward here on earth is not worth an eternity of torture and pain. But you have to make a choice there, don't you? You have to choose which one you're going to take. You know, we feel as if we're being pulled in all these directions. And we know that it's something we can see and feel. And we know that it's temporary, but we still struggle. Jesus had an external dialogue with the woman about this same kind of struggle. And we find it in John 4, verses 7 through 15. And I love this story. That there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. You know this story? Jesus said, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman?" For Jews didn't have any dealings with Samaritans. But Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says it to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And I love her response. "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where are you going to get that living water?" She's like, "Hey, dude, I know you can't actually get water out of this thing. You don't have anything to get it." And he says, "You are no greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us this well and drank it of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." And I love her response. "Man, give me some more water so I don't have to come back to this stupid well anymore." You see it? She didn't really get it. "Give me this water so I don't have to be thirsty or come down here to draw water anymore." She hadn't got it yet, but she's starting to gain a little bit of truth. And in this story, Jesus offered the woman the true source of life, the one that would satisfy her completely. How many of you feel like you're living a life that satisfies you completely? I don't see a hand in here. Because we all feel like we're coming up short somewhere. And before this interaction, she was in the middle of being pulled in worldly directions. And if you read the rest of the story, you come to find out she'd been married 5 times and she was living with a man that wasn't her husband now. She was searching out for her direction in the worldly ways, all while searching for something that would truly satisfy. And we're like that, aren't we? How many of us search everywhere but Jesus, trying to find something to satisfy us? How do we do that? And it can be anything, can it? It can be sex, but it can also be travel. Today is my anniversary. 30 years I've been married to my wife, Leslie, and it's a wonderful thing. And for our anniversary, we're going to travel. In a couple of weeks, we're going to go to Alaska for our 30th anniversary. Now, we love this. We like to go. And we always think we're going to travel. And we're going to come back. And what's the first thing we're going to say? Where are we going next? Right? That's what we do. Where are we going next? We take a big trip. Like last year, we went to Yellowstone. And while we were there, we came back. And we said, "Man, nothing will ever top that. But where are we going?" And that's the way it is with sin in our life. We try a little of it. And we say, "Well, we can't top that, but I got to try." And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be sex. It can be pornography. It can be food. I know. I don't preach on gluttony because it hurts too much. That's the reason the buffet is what it is. Get all you want. And we live in a world that entices you with sin like it's a buffet. That you can just go get all you want and there's no consequences. Except for the bill when you have to go get more pants. What you save on buffet food, you make up in clothing. And here's the thing. When this woman was dealing with all this sin, in came walking her life truth. The truth incarnate, Jesus Christ, collided with her sin, and then she was set free. The Bible tells us elsewhere that Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. Therefore, if we know Jesus, we know the truth. And how do we learn more about the truth? How do you learn more? Well, first of all, you've got to get one of these and open it up and look in it. And I know it's not even like this. You can just do this now. You got a Bible app on your phone? If you don't, get one. If you don't have a Bible app, Google it. You have no excuse to say, I don't have a Bible. Because God's Word is so readily available. And you got to spend time in it. And once you know it, and once you learn not to lose it, once you learn that it's so important in your life, I believe there is a proper response that God desires from us next, and that is to give it away. And give it away freely. Go share it. Isn't that the next step? You know, throughout the Bible, it's made clear that the Word of God was never meant just to dwell within us. It's not just a personal thing. It is a mission thing. And matter of fact, in Matthew's gospel, he says this. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Now you all have heard, how many of you heard that scripture 100 times at least? And this passage is known as the Great Commission. And Jesus commands his disciples to go and spread the Word of God. Now, I believe that this commission is given to us when we accept Christ. The minute you become a Christian, this commission is given to you. But all too often, churches over time become more about preference than mission. And the church in America that is set on preference doesn't do much for the mission. Suddenly, you're more interested in, you know, what kind of programs we have, or what kind of stuff do you have for me here? Does that sound familiar? When people come, I get so, when people come and visit the church, you can tell what they're looking for pretty quick. Where's your coffee? Oh, wait, I'm not saying we shouldn't have coffee, or, you know, when do you all have potluck? What kind of groups do you have? Rather than, what can I do to help your church? Does that sound right? We become more social clubs than we do missions. Yeah, that's what our first love should be, the mission of the church. Should be seeking and saving the lost. But we lose that. We don't want to share it anymore because if we share it, some new people are going to come in and they may want to change some of the stuff that we do. They may not dress like I do. They may not look like I do. They may not talk like I do. They may not like the same food I like. They may not like the same music I like. What does that matter? Well, it does to some. See, we've got to be careful that we're not a social club, but that we're on mission. And I'm going to tell you why it's important is because when we read and study the Word of God, even when we begin to put it in practice, we're called to go share it. And amazingly, sharing the Word of God strengthens your faith. If you feel like you're weak in your faith, go share it. Over the years, I have shared my faith with many, many people. Many people. I don't shy away. I used to shy away from sharing it, but I don't care anymore. I'll tell you all about Jesus, and you can either like it or not. But the most important thing is I share my story. I go up to people and say, you know, once I was like you, and I struggled with the things of this world, and I still struggle, but not as bad as I used to. Because Jesus took me from where I was and brought me to where I am now. And I'm secure in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I share that story with them over and over and over again. And each time I share it, and I talk about how the old me is now a new creation in Christ, each time my faith is strengthened. And it isn't just me or people in the ministry called to do this. It's you too. It's not just my job. It's yours. Ouch. You really want to know what the preacher's role is in the church? You want to know? Because I know there's a lot of different theories out there. My job is to inspire you to go tell people about Jesus. Do you know that? You should be going. And if you're not doing that, I failed. Don't make me a failure. Tell people about Jesus. Because, let's face it, we got to share with somebody. You got a story to tell. Chances are, if you've invited Jesus to do something in your life, he showed up. And if he showed up, tell that story. Today, maybe you're in a place where you're tempted to sell yourself short by following worldly temptations rather than the eternal truth of the Word of God. You feel like you have an internal wrestling match going on. The kingdoms are colliding within you, and you feel like you got to make a choice. Today can be the day you submit fully to God's Word. It is the only source of true abundant life. It's the only thing that can fully satisfy you. Will you allow it to do its work in you? Will you allow the Word of God to change you? Would you pray that God would soften your heart to the gospel? Once you receive the Word, as we talked about today, pray for opportunities to share it. This is, it's as simple as what it says. It's live it out. Know what it says. Share your story, your redemption to those around you. Will you pray for God to open a door this week? Will you pray for that? And so much joy comes in the giving of the gospel somewhere else. That's the reason Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, because when you give your faith away, it means so much more than when you received it. Jesus, he will open the door for you, and it will strengthen your faith in Christ. He's called us to believe, receive, and give. It's not difficult. But oh, how we let the world get in the way. If you'll pray for God to open doors, get ready, because they'll open. But the first thing you need to do is open the door to your heart. It all begins with saying, you know what? I need to soften myself before I can share it with anyone else. I need Jesus to give me the strength to stand firm, the strength to share my faith. You know, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest because my yoke is light and it's not hard. But it is hard if you try to drag the world with you. Living out your faith can be impossible if you're trying to bring the world with you. If you're trying to live like the world, you'll never be able to live for Jesus. It all comes down to a choice. I'm either going to choose what is right, or I'm going to choose what is wrong. Does that sound familiar? It's not rocket science. I didn't have to go and get a master's degree in New Testament to know that. You know it. It's not a secret that you always have a choice between Jesus and the world. There's always going to be a choice. And it's not going to go away because, you know, 20 years ago you professed Jesus as Lord and you were baptized into Christ and you received the Holy Spirit. That pull of the world doesn't go away, does it? It's still there. It's still pulling on you. So you have to make a choice every day. But I'm telling you, and I mean it, the more you share it, the more you tell people your story, the more you talk about Jesus, the easier it is to choose Him. If you haven't chosen Jesus in your life and you need to be baptized into Christ, today's a good day. The opportunity's here. You can come forward. We'll baptize you right now. We won't wait. We're going to do it now. But maybe you made that choice and you're with that one that's struggling and you have wandered off the path and you need to get back on. The great thing about Jesus is when you want to get back on the path, He's standing there with His arms open. It's not hard to find that path once you've wandered off. Get back on the path. And let's walk hand in hand telling everybody about this wonderful Savior who loved you so much that He would die for you. You got a decision to make? We've all got decisions to make. So make it as we stand and sing. Coming out and worshiping with us today. Hey, there's a lot going on from now till Christmas, so buckle up. Here we go. One of the first things I want to mention, September the 8th, during the Sunday school hour, we'll have our congregational meeting downstairs in the fellowship hall. There'll be continental breakfast and, you know, coffee, lots of coffee. But if you want, if you can't be there to vote that day, there are ballots and budgets out here on the table, and you can get those and fill them out. You just have to sign them if you do that, because we don't want you to vote twice. But just go check it out. It's the one part about church that I like the least, but we have to do it. So, just go vote. All right, I don't have anything else. What? 7:30 tomorrow night. We're playing softball again. If you want to come out and watch, come on. It's fun. We are the best bunch of losers you've ever seen. But we're real happy about it. I think I embarrassed Laurel. Hey, we were ahead last week for a little while. Yeah, not long, but for a little while. We batted first. All right. Hey, but we do have a good time. Just come out and support us. The people that are there watching us are having just as much fun. It's at Hopgood at 7:30. Field 3. Right. Yep. No, we don't play here. We don't want to get beat on our home turf. So if you want to come out and watch us and laugh and carry on, just do it. It'll be a lot of fun. All right, I don't have any other announcements except the newsletter's going out. Yep, make sure you read it. You know, I know who opens it and who don't. Now, that's a sad thing. I can look and see whether or not you open your emails. And about 40% of you only open your emails. Oh, I got you now. And then about 20% of the ones that open it actually click the link to the newsletter. So if you come to me and say you don't know something's happening, I'm going to look and see whether or not you opened your email or not. All right. Hey, guys, go be the church. It don't do us any good to get up and spend an hour, hour and a half of your time here in this building if you don't go out and live it. It's not a time clock religion where you clock in and clock out when you're here. It's an everyday choice to live for Jesus. Let's go be the church. All right. Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads with me. Dear God, thank you so much for everything you give us, all the opportunities that we get to come in and worship you and learn all about you and just try and become better Christians. So thank you for all that. Please be with us as we start getting busier towards the end of the year with all of our events that are happening, and just watch over us as we try and spread the word in your name. And thank you for everything in your name.